Okay. Well, it's great to be here again, and nice to see you. I recognize some of your faces and some of your names. Wow, nice to be here. The Lord always gives us such a good time when we're here. We come back, we come away replenished after speaking at Highway Christian Fellowship here. So I'll tell you a little bit about what we've been up to since maybe a couple years ago, since the last time we were here or so, maybe a little more. Maybe, something like that, and I'll tell you, and then Sandy, my wife, can tell you a little bit about our the personal stuff that's been happening more. So our ministry, we moved to Malaysia, and I'm basically doing three things. I help run these workshops called Guide to Planning the Future of Your Language. So we have tribal people come from various parts of Malaysia, and I've been doing this in also other countries like Pakistan, and we have a week-long study, and we find out how strong their language is, how bilingual they are, how the churches is doing, and that helps to decide whether or not Wycliffe is going to be translating into that language, or whether there's interest in literacy and language development, because we want to make sure that we translate into languages that we'll use for the kingdom of God. And if people are super bilingual, then sometimes they're comfortable with the status quo and they use another language for reading and reading the Bible, and they can grow in another language. So that's one thing we're doing, doing a little bit of survey work there. That's sort of going out and visiting some of the tribes and finding out, again, how the churches are, if there are churches, and what the needs are over there. And there's a third thing I'm doing. What's that again, hon? Oh, I can't remember what that is. I'm also working on a degree in linguistics at Simon Fraser University. So that takes us to a tribe called the Sibuyao tribe. So we're living with the Sibuyao people outside of Borneo, in the middle of the island of Borneo there. Actually, it's not in the middle. It's to the western part. And it's a group of people from a Sibuyao tribe. So I've learned their language, and we participate in their church, and I preach there in Sibuyao once a month. And they understand that they said they understood 50%, and now they're up to 90% of what I... So I figure 90%, I'm doing better than Jesus. The disciples didn't understand. So, yeah, it's been great to be a part of... this is kind of a blasphemy. I shouldn't say that again. Okay, the Beatles said that and got in terrible trouble. Anyway, so it's been nice to be a part of an indigenous local church there, and so we're not just doing the administration, whatever high level stuff, making decisions, but actually being a part of a local church and having people's come to us and being able to impact their lives. They're wonderful people, live mostly off the land, and they love the same Lord, and they worship the Lord in their own way in various different languages, and it's just neat to see how the Lord wants to meet people wherever they're at, hey? Yeah, and everybody has their different problems, maybe they're looking to the devil a lot, they're looking to worried about ghosts, and they're very conscious about those things. So we're trying to encourage them to look to Jesus and not so much at the darkness and the ghosts and things like that. So those are some of the things we're doing. Sandy, you want to tell them a little bit about our personal stuff happening in our family?
It's really great. Is this on? Yeah. It's really great being here again. And I think for me, it's might even been longer than 2 years ago. Can't remember. But anyway, we've always enjoyed coming back here, and I'll just tell you a little bit more about our family. We have two daughters. Don't know if you remember our family very well, but we have two daughters. One is 28, and she's a pastor in at Central Christian Assembly with Cam Milliken in Burnaby. And our other daughter is Raquel. She married this summer, and her spouse are both nursing students at Trinity Western. So we have just come back to Canada. Stan, as he's told you, he's doing a doctorate at Simon Fraser University. He needs to pull his data together. He needs to work with his advisor to finish his dissertation, and that's one of the reasons why we're home right now, is to make sure that gets done. That's hard to do from a distance. He needs to be working alongside his advisor, Panos. And we have just recently moved, and that was an answer to prayer, because I remember when we were what church were we at? I think we were at Nelson Church. And at that time, I was really burdened. Oh, there's people up there too high. at that time, I was really burdened because we were coming back at a time where the housing here, and especially in the Lower Mainland, is so expensive. And so, like, for me, like, Stan doesn't care. Like, he'd live in a tent the rest of his life or in a hammock. But for me as a woman, a home is very important. And so we did find a place to rent. We're renting in White Rock, which sounds ridiculous. Why would you go to White Rock? Well, we found a really good deal. And it's two blocks from the beach, and I returned to my position as a registered nurse at Peace Arch Hospital. I walk to work. I walk up, do you know White Rock? I walk up Oxford. Okay. That's pretty honey badger, I know. So anyway, up Oxford and then turn on Thrift and then Best and then Russell. So I've actually lost weight. I'm pretty pleased. Yeah. Yeah. Feeling, and not just weight isn't that important. It's just really getting into shape again. It feels good to not feel tired as much as I used to. So anyway, that's an answer to prayer. That we have found a lovely place. It's just the two of us now, so it's not a big, huge house, but it's very, very comfortable and clean, which is important to me. So that's the news. And I guess I tell people everywhere I go, I've just been really feeling a lot of gratitude to the Lord. And there's things that we tend to focus on, especially with prayer requests. You name all the things that you need and want or whatever, and all your cares and concerns, and that's important too. But lately I've been just really feeling gratitude, real deep gratitude for blessings. I know on Facebook, I feel so blessed. Hashtag blessed is kind of gross. Because it kind of sounds haughty and proud, but I can truly say that, you know, I just don't know why the Lord has blessed us. Like, when I think of a lot of things, and we're just humans, and yet for some reason my kids are doing well, and I'm just so grateful to the Lord for that. And one's in the ministry, and the other two are thinking of some sort of missions work with their nurse, and we'll see how that unfolds, but they're both love the Lord too, and so a lot of gratitude. Yeah, really do. Yeah, yeah.
Any questions? Something beautiful. Scott, why don't you sing it with us?
An old song.
Something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I have to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life. Here's our song. If there ever were dreams that were noble and lofty, they were my dreams at the start. And the hopes for life's best were the hopes that we'd harbor deep in our hearts. But our dreams turn to ashes, our castles all crumble, our fortune turned to loss. So we wrapped it all up in the rags of our life, laid them at the cross, and He made something beautiful, something good. All my confusion,
journey. He understood all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life.
Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit now about a life on a migration. Why don't we throw those clips on? Those are the video clips I saw, and I thought about this. I thought about these caribou and watched them as they're seen from the air, how they migrate for thousands of miles. They spend most of their life just walking. You know, they don't act like cows who just, you have to push cows to move. You have to be a cowboy and yee-hee-hee and move them. But not these. Caribou, they just keep on moving. They just keep on going and they encourage each other and keep on moving. They're focused on their destination. They're focused on their home up in the Arctic, and they're going to rest when they get there, when they get to their calving grounds. That's where they're headed. And they don't stop for very long. They just keep on going, and they live a life on a migration. They even give birth, and they keep on going, and they just go over the rivers, and just nothing stops them. There's thousands of them for thousands of miles, and that's how they live their life. They just live their life on the hoof, running and going to the destination, and they don't define themselves by being animals of the forest or animals of the barren grounds. Or they're animals on the move. They're animals, they're folks on their destination. So I thought about how they're so different, such a long migration, and so different from other animals. And now there's another clip I got, which is you can see these birds, the same thing. And where we live now in White Rock, whenever we go to the beach, there's always birds just looking at us, crows and seagulls. And if they're hoping that we'll have a French fry to give to them, right? And if we throw it in the air, whoop, there. They see it and they stop and they just hang around. They don't leave the beach. I don't think they're going to go down south. They're just going to stay. And if they were maybe thinking of traveling, as soon as they see that French fry, they're on the French fry and they just stop. But not these guys. Not these ones. These migrating birds, they're not tempted by French fries. They're going to eat later. They're going to rest later. They're going to rest when they get to their destination. They're not distracted by stale bread or French fries. They're just undeterred, and they don't turn aside. And they're going to tell each other about their journey when they get to their beach. So they're honking away. And talking to each other and encouraging each other and saying, you can make it. We're going to get there. Come on, don't be distracted by that French fry. Just keep on going. Keep on heading north. We're going to rest, and it'll be wonderful when we get there, when we get to our destination. And we're going to talk about this, what's been going on here in our flight when we get to our destination. But this isn't the time to stop and rest. This isn't the time to eat things that aren't going to be good for you, that'll slow you down and make you fat. This is the time to keep on flying, and you can rest when you get to your destination. So that's how these animals live their lives. They're animals on the hoof, animals on the fly, animals on a migration. Okay? And that's how I feel sometimes when we're in Borneo. This is the latest place we've been. I felt so much like I am on a journey. And because everybody asks me, Dari Mana, that's one of the first things I learned. Where are you from? That was the first thing people would ask you. And after a while, I got tired of people asking me, where are you from? And so I bought this vest, which is kind of a local vest that people wear showing their tribal affiliation. And they wear it for weddings, and I would wear this. And they still ask me, Dari Mana. Didn't work. So I got a little tired of that. It made me realize I shouldn't be doing that to anybody here in Canada either. Just It just it gets kind of old pretty fast. But you know what? I couldn't blame them because they were right. I wasn't from Malaysia. I have this thing here. You know what this is here? That's right. And what does it say in the passport? That's what they wanted to hear. They wanted to know where I was from. They wanted to know where my passport was. And also in the passport, this one, Sandy, it says, because I'm a student at SFU, I have a 5-year pass that I can live in the country of Malaysia for 5 years. So that was how we got into the country. That was a good thing. Actually, this is Sandy's. So I have a passport from Canada and a visitor's pass to Malaysia. That's how I got to go in the country, and I am just visiting. It's not a permanent thing. It doesn't say permanent. It says visitors. My real home is in Canada. And Sandy talked about our girls in Canada, and we're thinking about our girls in Canada. And I enjoyed a lot of things about Malaysia, but it didn't really feel at home. When I watch TV, go to a hotel there, and I watch the sitcoms or something, it just didn't seem that funny, you know? And when I make jokes to people, they wouldn't laugh as hard as they should because my humor was different. I was thinking like a Canadian. I thought their jokes weren't that. I watch Canadian news, for instance, and on the CBC sometimes, and I was interested in things that Canadians were interested in. Like, I like climbing mountains, for instance. It was very hard to convince the local people that it was fun to climb a mountain. I managed to after 2 years, but I found out they'd say, you like climbing mountains because you're Canadian. And one time my daughter came over and we climbed this mountain. It was almost 14,000 feet. Almost no locals at all. They were all people from Europe. And so that's just how I think. I'd listen to Canadian songs and people would say, hey, I can tell you're not from here. Easy for them to tell. So many ways. Okay. Now, what about the people in the Bible? Where were they from? Where was Abraham from? In Hebrews 11:8-15, it says, Abraham was called to go to a place he'd later received as his inheritance. He obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs to the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And then it talks about all these people in verse 13. They were living by faith when they died, and they didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they left, they would have had the opportunity to return. So where was Abraham from? He lived in tents anyway. He was a stranger in a strange country for most of his life. And he'd tell his servants, hey, we're not from here. Don't hammer those stakes in too deep because we're moving on pretty soon. We're moving on in the morning. We're just visiting. We're strangers here. What about Paul? Where was he from? How did he live? How did he look at his life? In Philippians 3:12-14, it says, I haven't already obtained all this, nor have I already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead, and I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 12:1-2, he says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, so let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the perfecter, the pioneer, and the perfecter of our faith. So that's the way Paul lived his life, on a run through this world, migrating through this world quickly, eyes fixed on Jesus. Eyes fixed on Jesus. Now Moses is another man who did a lot of wandering through this world. He spent his life on a migration, taking people and leading people towards the promised land. And at the end of his life, he climbed Mount Nebo, or the peak called Mount Pisgah, and he's got to see it all, and God said, I'm going to let you see the promised land from the Mediterranean and all the way to the Dead Sea. It's all going to be yours. And there's a lot of people that in the African American tradition that talk about the promised land, Martin Luther King says, I like Moses, I climbed Mount Pisgah and I've seen the promised land. And in Martin Luther King's dream speech, he says, we got difficult days ahead, but I've been on the mountaintop and I want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up in the mountain and I've looked it over and I've seen the promised land. And I want you to know that as people, we're going to get to the promised land. I'm not worried because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming on of the Lord. So Martin Luther King, he's on a migration. He did a lot of walking and marching through the world, looking towards the promised land. He spent a lot of time looking at the promised land in the presence of the Lord. And after he preached this the next day, he was gone. They shot him. I hope to see him in the promised land. See what it was like. What it's like up there. Corrie ten Boom is a lady who lived 50 years in one single house in the Beiji. And then the World War II took place and she went to Germany and suffered horribly. And she came back and wandered the streets after the war and went to her home and realized that it wasn't her home anymore. That the town wasn't her home anymore. And the Lord took her on a migration all through the world to tramp for the Lord. The Lord... she called herself, and just telling people about Jesus and looking towards the promised land. What about us? What about you? Where are you from? Darimana. Yeah, well, our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20 says, and we eagerly await a Savior waiting there. And Hebrews 13:14, we don't have an enduring city. We're looking for a city that's to come. So we're just visiting this planet. We're on a migration. We're not from here. 1 Peter 2:11, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires. He calls everybody who's a Christian a foreigner and an exile. Imagine that. That's what the Bible calls us. So the image of a Christian, we talk about a pilgrimage. That's a big part of our tradition. In Psalm 84:5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. So pilgrims are defined not by where they are on the road. Pilgrims are defined by their destination, where they're headed towards. And the pilgrim's talking about his destination all the time. And Christians are moving towards the promised land. So we might be citizens of Canada, like me. I have a Canadian passport, but we've seen the promised land. Oh, we've heard the song of saints on higher ground. We've heard the music that they sing there, and we've learned how to dance to it and to step to the music as we walk. We've heard snatches of that heavenly music, of that heavenly language, and we've smelled the fragrance of the promised land, and we're spoiled for the ordinary. We're not like everybody else. We can't be like our neighbors or 100% Canadian or our ethnicity. We can't feel at home in this world anymore because we're on the way to the promised land. The church is a pilgrim church moving forward, and it's comfortable here sometimes, and sometimes it's hard to hear God just calling us to the promised land all the time, and it's easy for a church to become so comfortable that it becomes more of a shelter. But church isn't based on fellowship. It's not based on love. A church is based on God's call. That's what church means. It comes from Greek ekklesia. It means called out. So church aren't just loving people. Churches aren't just the fellowship people. Churches are the people who are called. The called out people who listen to God's voice. Just like Jesus, God called the Jews out of the slavery in Egypt. God called us out of the slavery of our sins and called us to the light, out of darkness into the light. So in the olden days, there used to be a bell in the churches, and they'd bong, bong, and people would hear that bell, and they would come from all different parts of town, from all different walks of life to worship God. And there's still that bell tolling, and that bell is the Lord calling us from all different walks of life. And as we walk towards him, we discover each other on that Emmaus road, and we realize that we've got something in common, and that is the call. We can hear Jesus. When as a kid, we used to sing, This train am bound for glory, this train am bound for glory, this train. One Christmas, we took a train from Prince George to Vancouver, and that was fun. And most of the passengers were headed for Vancouver. And we talk about things, I've noticed we talk about things at the end of the line all the time, about someone was going to Lisquiti Island and another was going to the island somewhere. We're talking about our destination, about where we were going to spend Christmas. That's what we did most of our talking about. And so as a Christian community, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not just talking and encouraging each other about here on earth, but talking about the horizon, talking about the end of the train trip, talking about the end of the road. We're not just hugging each other, but we're encouraging each other not to hammer the stakes in too deep, because we're moving on in the morning. We're on a migration to heaven like Abraham. We're going to have faith and hope. And that's, we took communion today, and that little bit of wine that we drank is not too much. But in heaven, we're going to drink it a lot, then we're going to be satisfied. And this little bit of bread, that just it's just a tempting us to what we're going to be eating at that wedding supper of the Lamb up in heaven. Oh, yeah, this world isn't it. Our citizenship is in heaven. My passport, what it should say, is I belong to the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's where I'm from. I'm from the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, there's a lot of sayings that are true. I like sayings, but some aren't true. And one that isn't true is, so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. The truth is, that doesn't really hold out. Most of the people who are do good on earth are the same people who think about heaven. C.S. Lewis says, if you read history, you'll find Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most about the next world. Gives examples of the English evangelicals that abolished the slave trade and left their mark on earth because they were preoccupied with heaven. He says it's when you stop thinking about heaven that you become ineffective here on earth. So if we aim for heaven, we get earth thrown in. And if you aim for earth, you don't get either. So that's how we live our lives. That's how we live our lives as Christians. Like these caribou, like these Arctic birds just flying and desperate to be home, and we're going to be able to rest there. We're going to be able to cease from our labors when we get there, and we'll be in good company, just like I've been thinking to myself when I'm there in Malaysia and Sarawak, and like Abraham and Moses. Keep looking at the horizon. Spend a lot of time like Moses did on Mount Nebo, gazing at the promised land, catching a glimpse of what it looks like. Spend time listening to the heavenly music. Spend time in prayer. Spend time learning the dance that they're dancing up there to the music. And keep time, keep journeying towards the promised land. And know that you're just visiting. You're living your life for Jesus, but you're just a guest here on earth. And we can tell other people while we're walking, come along with us. Listen to this music. Look at the promised land, what God has for it. And we can spend time getting ready for our real home and preparing for that and thinking of that. I'm going to close with a song and ask my wife to come help me with the harmonies. You want to hold it down there? Yeah, okay. Now, this isn't mic'd, is it? So I have to play it loud? It's not home where men sell their souls and the taste of power is sweet, where wrong is right and neighbors fight while hungry are dying on the streets, where kids are abused and women are used and the weak are crushed by the strong. Nations gone mad, Jesus is sad. I don't belong. I don't belong. And I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong. And I think I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I don't belong. I'm a foreigner here, singing a sojourner's song. I've always known this place ain't home.
I don't belong. I don't belong. But while I'm here, I'll be living like I got nothing to lose. While I breathe, I just believe the Lord is gonna see me through. I'll not be deceived by earth's make-believe. I'll close my eyes to her siren song. By praising his name, I'm not ashamed, because I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong, and it seems I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I don't belong, I'm a foreigner here, singing a sojourner's song. I've always known this place ain't home. I don't belong. I belong to a kingdom of peace, where only love is the law, where children lead and captives are freed, and God becomes a baby on the straw. Where dead men live and rich men give their kingdom to buy back a song. Where sinners like me become royalty and we'll all belong. Yes, I belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land, where I belong. And it seems I hear the sound of a welcome home band. Yes, I'll belong. No foreigner there, singing a sojourner's song. I've always known I'm going home, where I belong. Yes, I've always known this place ain't home. I don't belong.